Thank you for taking the time to listen to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We hope you find it has meaning and relevance for your life. And now may you be blessed as you hear the reading of God's Word. Today's scripture reading comes from the voice of Paul in a letter that he wrote to the Colossians in chapter 1, verses 9 through 12. And he says this about living their lives as Christians. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of His holy people in the kingdom of light. This is the good news of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our lives and our faith come with questions, do they not? Sometimes we just wonder, what's God up to? Why is there suffering in the world? Why do my prayers seem to go unanswered? Why can't I get in touch with God's will for my life? We've been exploring these things over the last several weeks, and we're going to wrap up the series next Sunday as we talk about, ask the question, will God's love prevail? Spoiler alert, the answer is yes. But what you're going to want to come next week and find out how God's love prevails. Let's go to God together in prayer. Gracious God, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts will be acceptable in your sight. I pray your strength to the messenger this morning, that these words be your words, that your good news be proclaimed. Amen. So imagine that you are up in your attic and you're going through some old boxes and you come across an old journal and you've never seen it before. At least you don't think you've ever seen it before. It seems foreign to you. It looks like nothing that you've ever seen before, and so you decide to open it up, and on the very first page, you see words in your very own handwriting. And the first entry, the first date entered into the journal is your date of birth, like your actual date of birth. Dear diary, today I was born. And you look at the next page, and in your handwriting, it's another description of your second day of life. You're wondering, what in the world am I reading here? Because you don't remember having written any of these things down. So you flip a little further in the page and you see the chapters of your life unfolding. You see your experiences in elementary school and in high school, and you see some of the choices that you made as an adult, and you see everything that you've done in your life all written down in these pages of this journal. And then you get to today's date and you start reading. And you read about how you're going to find this journal in the attic. And you keep reading and you realize that there's more to the story. It doesn't stop where you are right now. You get to read what you're going to have for dinner that evening. And what board game you're going to play with the kids later that night. And the things that you thought about right before you went to bed. You close the journal and you wonder, what is this? What am I looking at? And you think about putting it back in the box where you found it and forgetting it was ever there, but your curiosity gets the better of you. And you decide to flip the page. And tomorrow's entry is all written. And you can see exactly what happens tomorrow. Well, now the curiosity is completely out of control. You can't stand it any longer, so you go ahead and flip forward. And you can see the events of every single day of your life, even into the future. You read all about some of the great triumphs and successes and great things that have happened in your life that you celebrate. And then you read with horror some of the horrible things, some of the pain and some of the tragedy and some of the suffering that you and your loved ones go through. And you get to the very end of the journal, and there in your own handwriting is the story of how your life on earth ends. What would it be like to have a book like this? I think I would be tempted to try to do something unexpected to see if something changed in the book, but no, it doesn't change in the book. You know, on the one hand, it'd be kind of nice. We would know everything that was about to happen, and we could prepare ourselves for what was about to happen. But the truth is that any kind of preparation wasn't going to change the outcome. Or maybe it would help us avoid mistakes that we might make, but the mistakes are already there, and the outcomes don't change. The book is all written. It's all in written form, and it's all laid out for us, and our lives are simply about fulfilling the pages of the book. Sometimes I think that we think about God's will or God's purpose or God's plan for my life, and we think about it as a story that's already been written. We think about God's plan for our lives as this narrative that's already been told, and we simply are just going through the motions of a script that has already been written for us. And that God's will for us is to simply do the things that God has already predestined us to do. But friends, that takes our own free will out of the question, doesn't it? And that raises some problems for us who believe that we have a part to play in the ways that we live our lives. If God has already directed all of our steps and predetermined everything that we're going to do, then when 19 hijackers took over airplanes and crashed them into buildings in 2001, they weren't acting on their own volition. They were just simply following out God's script for their life. When Boko Haram takes 300 Nigerian girls hostage and keeps them away from their families, they're not doing anything evil. They're just simply following God's plan for their lives. When a tornado rips through a community and destroys homes and destroys lives, that all happened because it was already in God's script, already written down for us. When somebody takes another person's life and commits murder, they weren't responsible. They were just simply doing what God's script has already done. Now, friends, our legal system would not accept that defense. And I don't think we should either. I don't think we can believe in a loving, just, caring God who would write a script so awful and so painful and so bloody. And besides, what fun would it be for God to have already written the script of all of our lives and now just simply watch it all unfold? I think God would have better things to do with God's time than to watch a story that God's already written and just to manipulate us as little puppets and little players on God's stage. I don't think God's will works that way. Another way we sometimes think about God's will is not that God has predetermined every step that we take, but that God has a perfect will for our lives. God has this grand plan for what our perfect lives look like. And if we will get in touch with God's will, the steps that we take will keep us lined up and in accordance with God's perfect will. Now, that's a great thing to think about. It's great to think that God has this great plan for us. The problem is that if I misinterpret something, or if I make a choice that isn't in accordance with God's perfect will, or if I take a step that is off track just a little bit, then my whole life might get off track, and I might miss God's perfect will for my life. That I have to be so in tune from day one of knowing what God's perfect will is so that I stay right in line with what that specific path looks like. So again, I think that breaks down because as kids, you know, we make mistakes all the time. We go off track. We mess up. And when we decide what we're going to grow up and be in our careers, you know, we seek wisdom and we seek God out for that. But sometimes we don't do the things that we think we ought to be doing. And sometimes we think about the person that we want to marry. Well, what if we didn't marry the one person that God had chosen for us to marry, and we marry someone else, and we go off into this life that really wasn't in accordance with God's perfect plan for us, and we have kids, and those kids are not even born within God's perfect plan because we were supposed to go over here. Now, I mean, you see how that breaks down kind of fast. So what if we thought of God and God's will and God's involvement in our lives, not so much that God has already written the story and we're just playing it out, and not that God has this one path that we follow, but that as we think about God's will, we think about how we are participating with God in writing the stories of our lives, that we are collaborating with God on this great story of our lives. Kenan and I got to collaborate on a project several years ago. If you ever collaborated with somebody, you've worked together on a project with somebody, Kenan and I did this. He had this these song lyrics that he wanted to put together in this song. And so he gave the lyrics to me. He said, John, I want you to put some lyrics, put some melody together with these song lyrics. Now, I'm not a songwriter. I don't really know a whole lot about it, but I thought it sounded like fun to do. So I sat down and I tried to scratch out a little bit of a melody that went with these lyrics, and I used the three chords that I know, and we tried to put together a little song that might sound really good, and I gave it back to him, and he listened to it, and he said, yeah, that sounds pretty good, but what if we did this, and what if we did that, and I said, yeah, that sounds good, what if we did that, and then we finally shaped it and crafted and came up with this song that we liked, and it sounded pretty good, and then we decided our church was going to put out this CD, and we were going to include that song on the CD, so we gave the song to our band leader, who actually Marla's son Kevin was our band leader at the time, and he took the song, and he really made it sound good, and now it sounded like something we'd actually want to listen to, and so we collaborated together to create this thing together. It was really quite wonderful. Have you ever done that with someone? Have you ever collaborated on a project or worked with somebody? To collaborate is simply to co-labor, to work together, to participate together in that work, and I think that as it comes to the story of our lives, that's what God is inviting us to do. God has a plan for us in the sense that God has a dream for what our lives might become. But God leaves a lot of the details of the story up to us to write. The various plot twists and turns, the various choices that we make, almost all of the dialogue is up to us. And we get to participate in telling this story and being part of this story that is the story of God. And because we are Christ followers, because Christ is in our lives, part of our story is interwoven with the story of Jesus. And the story of Jesus is the story of suffering and sacrifice, but it's also the story of redemption and reconciliation, and we share in that story together, and we get to participate in that story together. Friends, if the stories of our lives were already written, then there would be no need for the Great Commission to go out and tell the world about Jesus Christ, because everybody else's fate would already be sealed. But God tells us to go and tell the world about Christ so that the world might be filled up with the love of Christ in the world, and His story might be our story, and it might be someone else's story and be the story of our world. So as we do that together, we are sharing in God's work, and we are shaping God's world together. Another way to kind of think about collaborating or participating in God's will like this is if you're raising kids or if you have raised kids, then you know that as a parent, you have dreams and hopes for your kids, but your kids get to do what they want to do. So Jennifer and I have three kids biologically, and they are all very similar, but they also are very, very different. And from the time that we could even think about them, we had hopes and dreams for their lives. But our hopes and dreams were not wrapped up in what they would be or what they would do for a living. We say, well, we really hope they'll be a doctor. We really hope one of them will be a baseball player or things like that. I mean, we might have those grand dreams out there somewhere, but we're not. Our lives are not wrapped up in making our kids be those things. They get to make the choices of what they will become. Now, our dream for them is that they grow up to be people who love God, people who grow up to participate in the community and love their neighbor as theirself, people who have strong values and strong ethics. That's our dream for our kids, is they grow up to be contributing, productive members of society. And what they do with the rest of it is their choice. Their lives belong to them. They are not ours to live for them. Their lives are theirs to live. And sometimes they're going to make choices that make us really proud. And sometimes they're going to make choices that break our hearts. And I think we do the same thing. Sometimes we make choices that are right in line with where God is leading us. And if you've ever made a choice that's right in line where God is leading you, you know what that feels like. You know what it feels like to kind of hit that sweet spot and say, you know, this is exactly where God needs me to be. And sometimes we make choices that aren't in line with where God really wants our lives to go. And we know how frustrating that can be. And we know when it feels like to sort of be out of balance and not be on the right track. When we participate with God, God allows us to make those choices. God allows us to collaborate in telling that story in our lives. So I think sometimes when we say, I just don't know what God's will for my life is, or how can I know more about God's will for my life, it's really an unfair question that sets us up for disappointment. Because in asking that question, we're really trying to get into a specific thing. We're really trying to give validation on God's behalf to some choice that we want to make. And instead, what God is saying is, my will is not so much about these specific decisions that you make. It's about how you make the decision. It's about how we partner together in this process, and how we come together to write this story, to share the mind of God, to get into the mind of God. To know God's will is to know God, and to love God, and to seek to serve God with all that we are. And so whether it's guidance in a career choice, or guidance in relationships, or whatever it is that we're seeking to know the mind of God on, God says, first, just get to know me. Love me. Love your neighbor as yourself. Serve me in the world. And in that, you will start to know what my will is. And so Paul outlined this for us in Colossians, in his letter to Colossians, right at the very beginning. If you have a Bible with you or a Bible app on your phone, I'm going to spend a few minutes here in Colossians chapter 1, starting at verse 9. Paul wrote this. He said, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. So Paul's prayer for the Colossians is that they would know God's will. Knowing God's will is not a bad thing. Paul wanted the Colossians to be filled with the knowledge of God's will through wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. So it's the Spirit who gives that wisdom and understanding. It's not ourselves. It's not that we just pray and get it. It's God's Spirit that dwells in us and fills us and allows us to know the mind of God. So wanting to know God's will is important, and it is part of our faith journey. But it is God who gives that to us through the Holy Spirit. He says, we pray this, that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way. Paul's prayer to the Colossians was that they would be filled with the knowledge of God's will, not so that they would be super smart, not so that they would be better than everybody else, but so that they would know how to live lives that pleased God. Knowing God's will is not about fulfilling our needs or making ourselves more happy. Knowing God's will is simply knowing how to live life, is learning how to live a life that pleases God. That's what finding God's will for our lives is really about, is how to please God. And then he offers four aspects on how we please God, how we live a life worthy of the Lord and please God every day in every way. Bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you might have endurance and patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. So, knowing God's will and living a life filled with the understanding of God's will and living a life worthy of God that pleases God in every way really comes down to those four basic aspects. The first one is this, that we bear fruit, that we produce fruit in every good work. Now, what does it mean to produce fruit? Well, it means that something comes from the thing that we've done. So something comes out of the conversation we have. Something comes out of the email that we send. Something comes out of some action that we take. Everything that we do bears some kind of fruit. It's not always good fruit that comes from the things that we do. But Paul is saying you bear fruit in every good work. So when's the last time you thought about the kind of fruit that would be produced from something you said, something you sent, or some action that you took? When's the last time before you had the conversation, before you sent the email, before you did the thing that you were thinking about doing, you stopped and you said, what good fruit will be produced from this? That's one of the ways that we know God's will and we live lives that please God, is to think ahead and only do those things, or seek to do those things, that will bear good fruit when we do them. So before you send the email, before you have the conversation, before you do the thing that you're thinking about doing, ask yourself, what fruit will come from this? And if you think, you know what, there's nothing good that's going to come from this, then maybe God is telling you, it's not the time to do this right now. Or maybe you say, yes, it's going to be a tough conversation, but this good fruit will come from this difficult moment. And if that's the case, then yeah, you proceed, but you proceed with the knowledge that I'm seeking something better as a result of this. I'm not just venting to make myself feel better. I'm not just acting like a the world revolves around me because I want it to. I'm doing this because this is my intent, is to bear this good fruit out of this conversation or out of this particular action. So one of the ways that we know the will of God, one of the ways that we live lives that please God, is to seek to bear fruit in every good work. Another is this, growing in the knowledge of God. How do we grow in the knowledge of God? There are lots of ways that we grow in the knowledge of God. The easiest way and the way that's most accessible to us right now is through prayer. To simply spend time with God in prayer. Not just telling God all the things that we want to tell God, but to stop, to listen, to meditate on God's presence, to see if we can hear from God or get that little urge from God's Spirit that gives us some kind of indication that we are in tune with what God is saying to us. We grow through the study of God's Word. Not just reading the Bible to say that we read the Bible, but to really seek to read the Bible for what God is saying to us in this moment, at this time. How is God speaking to me today through this passage? Maybe it's a passage that you've read 1,000 times, but what is it saying to you today that's a little different than how you've read it before? And how is God speaking to you? How's God's living Word filling you up? We can grow in the knowledge of God through worship together, through the sacraments together, through fasting and abstinence and holy conversations. All of these things can help us to know God more deeply and to grow in the knowledge of God. This is one of the other ways that we discern God's will in our lives and that we live lives that ultimately please God. Third, be strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience. Life is not always easy, and even when we're on the right track and following God's will, exactly where we believe God is leading us, sometimes it gets tough. And sometimes we have those moments where life just gets really hard, and Paul is saying, in those moments, be strengthened in the Lord. Take strength from God, because sometimes we get impatient. Sometimes we just don't feel like we've got the energy to endure. Sometimes we just feel like everything is closing in around us. And Paul says, God is your strength. You lean on God, trust in God, let God fill you with that strength to endure, that patience, and that comfort to know that you can bear all things that may come your way in life, knowing that God is walking with you in every circumstance. That's another way that we discern the will of God and live lives that please God, is to be strengthened in the Lord when those difficult moments come. And then finally he says, give thanks to the Father, joyfully give thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints of the kingdom of light. It's amazing what gratitude will do for our spirit. When we experience things in life that are difficult, we have the opportunity to approach them in ways that just make us bitter and angry, or we have the opportunity to approach them in ways that actually, that just by being grateful, change our whole mindset, change our whole perspective on the way things are looking around us. We can look at the world in very dark, very colored, very cynical kind of ways, or we can look at the world in very hopeful ways. And gratitude is one of the key ways that changes that mindset. When we're grateful for what God has given us in our lives, when we're grateful for the blessings that we experience in our lives, we're grateful even for God's sustaining presence in difficult times. We find that we navigate those moments very differently and in much more productive and healthy ways than just allowing ourselves to be bitter and angry when things don't work out like we want them to. Joyfully giving thanks in all circumstances is another way that we can know the will of God and live a life that pleases God in every opportunity we have. So when I think about all of these things, I think about Jesus Christ. Jesus who knew the mind of God, who was God in the flesh. And yet when Jesus came to earth, he endured the suffering and shame that human beings put him through. He was faithful and obedient to where he knew God was leading his life. I'm not sure if it was God's will. In fact, I really don't think that it was God's will that Jesus come to the earth to be crucified by human beings. I think God's will was that Jesus would come to the earth and show the depth of God's love so greatly that people would respond to it. When it became clear that the only way the world was going to get the message was to see God's own Son hanging on the cross for the sake of the world, God sent Jesus to do that. And Jesus showed the depth of his love for us by willingly enduring the suffering and shame on the cross for our sake, showing that it was God's will to reconcile and redeem all of humanity to God by whatever means necessary, because God loves us so very much. If Jesus' example to us is obedience and faithfulness to God's will in every circumstance. So I want to ask you the question today. How are you collaborating with God in the story of your life and the story of your faith? And how are you living out your life so that the story you tell might include an invitation for someone else to be a part of the story of Christ and experience His saving power in our world? How is the story shaping you so that you can grow in the knowledge of God and grow in wisdom and grow in your spirit and grow in your spiritual maturity so that you can truly understand where it is that God is leading you and how it is that God is leading us together to truly be the people that God has created us to be? Sometimes we get stuck in the mud and the mire of our lives and things get really difficult. And in those moments, it really is hard to know. What is it that God is calling me to do? How is it that I know God's will? I can't even see past. I can't even get past this one little thing that's in front of me. How am I supposed to get in touch with the will of God? And in those moments, it's important to know that God stands with us, that God is right there beside us the entire way, moving the story forward and walking with us as we navigate those challenging moments of our lives, just calling us to be faithful, just calling us to persevere, just calling us to love God and love our neighbor, and in doing that, share God's story and serve the world. So I pray this week that you might find opportunities to collaborate with God in the story, to know that the pages of the story, the rest of the story of your life are blank pages. Your story has not been written yet, but the ending is assured. Our hope and our faith is that Christ assures us of what the end of the story looks like. And the way that we get there, God leaves in our hands, and God asks us and calls us to grow in our knowledge of God, to grow in our love of God, to seek God in all that we do so that we might glorify God in our work here on earth. Let's bow together in prayer. God, we give you thanks that you are with us in all things. And we thank you, God, that we are not just your puppets on a string, but we have choices to make. We pray that you'll open our minds and open our hearts that we might seek you in every decision, that we might always, before we make any specific plan, seek to find your wisdom and your peace. We pray that in all things we might grow in our knowledge of you, grow in our love for you, and grow in our love for the world and each other. May we reflect your perfect kingdom here on earth so that your will be done and that your love would fill this place more than anything else. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We invite you to join us in worship every Sunday morning at 9 and 10:30 in either our celebration service, which offers a blended worship style, or in The Bridge, which offers a contemporary and soulful worship style. For more information, visit our website, mysumc.org. Have a blessed day.